Come on, would you direct that hand clap of praise to the one and only mighty God tonight? Come on, the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is His house. It is for His making. He designed this place. It wasn't a man's design that you be in this building. It was God's design that you be in this building. Amen. And I'm so glad to be with you tonight. It is an honor to be here with you all. I want to give honor to each pastor and minister that is here with us tonight. I also want to give a special thanks to Pastor John Biddle for trusting in me to speak not only just in his pulpit, but to speak to other bodies of Christ and believers. I don't take it lightly to be here with you all tonight. Do you love your pastors? Do you love your ministers? Do you love the men of God in your life? Come on, we give honor where honor is due around here. I believe God has sent those men into each of your lives for a purpose. Amen. We'll be turning, if you have your Bibles, we'll be turning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. And while you're turning there, I wanted to express honor to the prettiest girl in the whole wide world, and that is my lovely wife, Erica. I'm glad she's here with me. She makes me better. She's my better half, all that. And my lovely little daughter, she's here as well. And then also another special shout out to my mama. My mom drove all the way from Ohio to come be with us tonight. I'm glad she's here as well. But on top of all of that, I'm glad that the presence of the Lord God is in this house. I'm glad Jesus showed up tonight. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord where His presence is welcome, where He can usher in to see His people and to meet a need and to trust you with a need and to trust you with something He wants to pour out in this place. Do you love God tonight? Do you love Him? Do you want Him inside of your heart? Do you want Him in your life? And do you want more of Him? If you've got your scripture pulled up tonight, would you say word? It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. Everybody say stand. Against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. Everybody say withstand. In the evil day, and having done all, to stand. My title and subject tonight is simply your posture. Matters. Your posture matters. Would you pray with me one more time? God, we love you. We thank you for coming into this house amongst your people tonight. I pray, God, that you would open our mouths, open our minds, open our hearts, oh Lord, to your word. Let your word go forth and be confirmed tonight. Anoint these lips of clay, Lord, in Jesus' name, so that it can go forth unchecked and ever settled in the word of God. We worship you and we praise you. Would you clap your hands to the one and only God tonight as you are seated? Would you go ahead and believe Him for a victory tonight? Would you go ahead and believe Him for something to be answered tonight? Would you go ahead and believe Him for all the prayers that you've been praising as you're seated tonight? Amen. Your posture matters. Posture, by definition, has two separate definitions. One, it says the position in which someone holds their body when standing or sitting. Definition two says a particular way of dealing with or considering something, an approach or an attitude. Your posture is the way you carry yourself. Your posture is the way that you stand up to something or sit down in your life, or whatever you decide to do, your posture is what dictates dictates how you are carrying yourself, how you are allowing your mind to carry itself, how you are responding to your life depends on your posture. In other words, your posture is the way that you stand your ground. Your posture is the way that you can also handle defeat. Your posture shows your enemy or your attack whether you're going to withstand it or whether you're going to fall against it. Your posture, let me tell you tonight, matters. An improper posture creates pressure in places that are not equipped to handle it. If you have bad posture, you're going to cause yourself pains and aches. If you sit wrong, it can cause problems in your spine or in your ankles even, or even in your shoulders. You can have bad posture and it can cause you pain. You can have bad posture and it can cause you to fall. You can have bad posture and you may not come out on the other side of wherever you're walking. If you're not standing upright, it can cause you to slouch and it can cause you to have improper balance and posture. Your posture matters. If you're going to carry yourself with yourself and your head held high, you must have proper posture. With enough time spent in bad posture, it can cripple you. I'm just talking physically right now. With bad posture, you may not be able to lift your maximum capacity. If you have improper posture when you go to lift something or carry something, it can cause pain. It can cause fault. It can cause you to drop what you're carrying. Your posture matters. Don't allow your posture to cause you to be crippled. This information can also be comparable to your spiritual walk with God, your spiritual posture. Let me be the first to inform you tonight that your posture will always and forever matter in your spiritual life. If you do not have good spiritual posture, you can fail and you can fall in your walk with God. You can get off of the path that He so effortlessly planned out and laid in front of you. It can cause you to walk wayward. It can cause you to question things. It can cause you to turn an exclamation point into a question mark and question your own faith and your own belief. Is this really worth it? Is this really worth all my effort? Is this really worth my fight? Is this really worth my praise? Is this really worth my worship? Is this really worth my time and my effort in the battlefield? If my posture is not correct, I will fail at my task. Take a look at our friend Elijah in the Old Testament. This man, this prophet of God that heard the very voice of God and was able to speak that word unto the people. He was the one very same man that was able to stop the rain for a time and season. He was able to speak a blessing into an ever going cruise of oil that never ended. He was able to call forth a widow's son back to life. He was able to defeat the prophets of Baal by his faith and call down fire. He was able to call down fire in such a way, in just a short prayer, that lapped up every bit of wet sacrifice, because he was able to posture himself in such a way that he allowed himself to be victorious. He allowed himself to be faithful. He allowed himself to see the work of God. But just so you know, when your posture starts to slip, and maybe when you're not paying attention, and a small threat from a woman named Jezebel came to the man Elijah, the man of God who did all of these miracles through his faith and through the power of Almighty God, through his upright, strong posture, because he knew that God would follow everything that he spoke. The same man began to start slouching in his posture, began to slouch a little bit in his character when he had a threat from Jezebel telling him, "We're going to kill you. I'm going to take your life away, Elijah. I'm going to do to you what you did to our prophets of Baal. I'm going to come after you. You better stop running because it's over now. Your life is ended. We're coming for your head and you will not live much longer." That threat caused Elijah to question his purpose. He started to slouch a little bit in his spirit all the way until he got to a tree and fell down into the depths and base of a tree, asking God himself to take his life away. Improper posture will cause you to question your purpose. Improper posture will allow a threat to come to your life and you begin to question God's purpose for you. You start feeling a little bit alone. You start feeling a little bit attacked. You start feeling a little bit weaker each step that you take, running away from the attack that's coming after your life. And you'll find yourself at the bed of a tree. But God sent an angel to wake up Elijah and said, "Boy, you better wake up and get your posture right. There, you're not alone, but there is a multiple thousands of other believers just like you, just on the other side of that mountain. If you would but just get up out of your muck, out of your mess, posture yourself for your victory and start walking towards the one who believes like you and start allowing me to let my purpose in you come out of your mouth and begin to do a work. You got to trust my process, not your flesh, not your process. Get your posture right and follow after me like I called you to the first time." Improper posture can lead you down the wrong path. Amen. Devil, you thought you had me. You thought I was dead. You thought I would never dance again. But God, you thought you had me down. You thought you had me in the depth of your attack. You thought your attack was going to work on me. But I've got something to tell you. I'm posturing myself for warfare. I'm posturing myself for the battlefield. And I'm posturing myself for victory tonight. It's coming to me tonight. And I'm declaring that God's purpose be done through me. And I'm going to allow my posture to do the work for me. Would you give God a hand clap of praise tonight for hearing your prayers, for hearing your cry? When the enemy's on your tail and you don't know what to do, you've got to posture yourself for the best outcome, not the worst. You've got to posture yourself to speak to your enemy and prophesy unto your enemy and tell him you will be defeated. Your posture matters. Just look at the three Hebrew boys in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, for those who need to know. This is a story that's very familiar, but just a short backstory. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, wanted to impose his will on this entire kingdom and community of chosen people. He imposed it so much that he began to change their clothes, their names, the way they carried themselves, the way that they postured themselves in God, the way that they postured themselves in their jobs. He gave them new positions, new jobs. He gave them a different identity. Took away their godly identity to the point where they changed their names. Got to the point where they began to build a golden idol and they wanted everyone to bow toward this idol. They wanted everyone to bow, and King Nebuchadnezzar began to speak to the crowd and said, "As soon as the music plays, start bowing. Start worshiping this idol that I have created. Not God. I've created this city. I've created your new posture. I've given you new names and new provision. I've given you new clothes. I've changed your identity. You might as well worship me and the idol that I have proposed in front of you." And of course, we know that these three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by the way, those were their new names, but that's what we'll call them tonight. I'm not going to get into all that on time. I'll let your pastor do it. But the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, decided they were not all right there in a row sitting next to each other in this crowd. So each one of them individually decided, I'm not going to bow to the will of this king, this human, this man that created this statue that he wants me to praise and bow to. I'm instead going to posture myself in such a way that I'm going to still live for God. I'm going to stand firm on his word. I'm going to stand firm in his presence. I'm taking my identity back, and I'm going to allow my posture to carry and show forth my faith in him. The king got pretty upset. He even gave them another chance. He said, listen, you may not have gotten the memo. You may not have heard what I was spreading out into the kingdom, but just so your information is up to date, when the music starts, you're to bow. When my music plays for you, you need to bow to this idol to show forth gratitude of what I have given to you. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, meaning you're not my king. You are a man, and we do not answer to you. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And here's where the posture and their chest begin to bubble up. It says, but if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship thy golden image which thou hast set up. We are believers in our God. We are chosen people of the Lord God Almighty. We are the reason we're still living. We are the reason we're still breathing. We are the reason that we have the ability to name victory for ourselves. And we will be delivered from you, whether it's through the fire or whether it's through the delivering power of Jesus in our lives. It's your posture, and it matters what you do in your posture. Your posture matters. David got himself into a pickle before he was a king. He stumbled into an army camp, standing up to a Philistine named Goliath, a giant of a man. Everybody, I'm sure, in here knows the story about David and Goliath. But David, a shepherd boy, was just bringing some provision to the camp. And this man, this giant named Goliath, was tormenting the army, taunting them, mocking them, and mocking their God. And what that ended up doing to this army and every leader, even the king, was overwhelmed with his insults and mockery, that it began to affect their posture. It didn't matter the armor that they were wearing. It didn't matter the weaponry that they possessed. It didn't even matter if they would have had more soldiers than them. Their posture began to become improper. They began to carry themselves a little bit lower every time that he spoke unto them. But David said, who is this Philistine? Who is that guy shouting to us, the chosen people of God? Who is the giant trying to talk us down out of who we really are? Who is the giant over there trying to affect who I am? I've come to tell you tonight that your posture matters, and it depends on how you carry yourself. If you're coming up to a giant, if you're facing the fiery furnace, if you're coming up to an attack on your life and your spirit, if you're not carrying yourself with proper posture, you might fall right into that fiery furnace and get burned up. You might not be delivered out of your mess if you allow yourself to not be carrying your posture correctly. Your posture matters. So David takes it upon himself to show up with a slingshot and a few pebbles. stepping to a giant of a man. It said, the Bible says that, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Never, in other words, I will kill you. It doesn't matter if you're stepping to me, little boy, little man. I will end you today. If you come to me, I will end your life. And I'm going to end it in such a way that I'll feed you to the animals. I'll feed you to the beast of the field. And you're not going to exist. And we're going to do the same to the rest of your kin, to the rest of the army. And you're not going to be able to be victorious. Well, David had his posture correct. Stood upright toe to toe with this Goliath. It says, then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. In other words, you've come to me with weaponry made by man. You've come to me with a sword that's unlike any other in the kingdom. You've come to me greater in size, greater in strength, and greater in number. And you're trying to tell me that you're going to be victorious, but all you see is through your fleshly eyes. I'm not coming to you just with a sword. I'm not coming to you just with a shield, but I've come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means my God surrounding me. It's part of my armor, and I'm carrying my posture in such a way that I believe for victory. I believe I'm going to feed your head to the dogs. I'm going to take that sword of yours, and I'm going to take your head, Goliath. You see, David came to the fight without a weapon. But he began to be a prophet in that moment because his posture was so sure of God, not himself. His posture was so sure of God that he would provide a weapon to take the head of Goliath. He was a boy with a slingshot and a rock. And he allowed himself to shoot with such accuracy that it killed Goliath. But he saw the sword that was bigger and better than the rest of them. He saw a sword that was laying on the ground next to this dead giant. And he said, I'm going to stick to my word. And he took the head of a giant. It's because he had his posture correct. Your posture matters in what you're doing in the spirit world. David knew that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. In fact, the Bible says, behold, I, talking about God, have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and that bringeth forth the instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. That means I created the person who created that sword. I knew you were going to use it, David. I place it in Goliath's hands, and it's got your name on it, David, and you're going to go pick that sword up. I created the smith that created the sword that was like no other else in the kingdom. I created it for you, and if you would posture yourself in such a way that you're ready to receive victory over a giant, baby, you know one thing else that's coming. I'm providing the weapon. Your posture matters. So he postured himself for victory. In other words, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Whatever idol that the world is trying to get you to succumb to, whatever lifestyle that the world is trying to tell you to live, whatever kind of unholiness that the world is trying to put into your ear, whatever kind of lie is coming towards you from the enemy, you've got to remember, greater is he that is in me than he that is within the world. He has no power over me, but my God rules me, and my posture is going to carry me through all the way to my victory tonight. Do you believe that? Is there a witness that's been through some storms? You've been through some trials. You've been up against some mountain. You fought some Goliaths. You fought some you came out on the other side because you allowed your posture to carry you through unto your victory. Would you worship the King that was able to do that through you? Amen. I created the smith that blows the coals, that creates the weapons that come against you. But no weapon that's formed against you is going to be able to prosper, because I created the ones that created the weapon. Amen. He postured himself for victory. Your posture matters. Church of God, it's time to take a stand. It's time to suit up and get your armor on. It's time to get ready to walk into what God's end time church is called to be. We cannot be laxed. We cannot be lazy. We cannot be weary in well doing. The Bible says, don't be weary in well doing. Don't get tired of coming to church. Don't get tired of praying. Don't get tired of reading your Bible. Don't get tired. Don't allow the enemy to beat you so far down that you're sitting at the tree, Elijah. You're not alone. Don't fight this thing by yourself. You need to go find the ones that are alike to you. You need to posture yourself in such a way, Elijah, that you're able to see victory and not defeat. You got to suit up, child of God, in order to take on what the world is trying to put towards you. They are surrounding us on every side. But let me tell you, you've come to me, Goliath, with swords and with spears and with shields and man-made armor and man-made weaponry. But I come to you in the name of Jesus. And he is my protector. He is my burden bearer. He is the one that causes my posture to carry me through it. He's the one that gives me the creative power to speak things as though they were, if they aren't already. You are able to call down power from heaven. When you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that you received power also. That's the kind of power that can talk to disease. That's the kind of power that can cast out demons. That's the kind of power that can speak victory where there's a losing situation. You gotta posture yourself in such a way that you can see the end time victory coming to you. Verse 13 of our text says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. There hasn't been an evil day as the one we're living in now. There hasn't been such an evil spirit in the world as there is now. So hold fast. The Bible talks about being instant in season and out of season. Let me tell you, we're going into a season of the end time. God's coming back soon for his chosen people. But we've got to be instant in season and out of season. That means you need to stand firm on the word of God. You've got to stand with your armor on. And you've got to posture yourself for heaven. You've got to posture yourself for victory. You've got to posture yourself to receive what God has for you. You've got to posture yourself for revival, Pastor. You've got to posture yourself for Harvest Church. You've got to posture yourself for miracles, signs, wonders, the outpouring and infilling of the Holy Ghost. You've got to posture yourself to have that water tank flowing, overflowing with water. You've got to posture yourself to praise him. You've got to posture yourself to worship him. You've got to posture yourself to birth a miracle. You've got to posture yourself to get your victory. In closing, if the music would like to come, I promised myself I wouldn't be super long tonight. Romans 8 and 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, no powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. I've come unto you, Goliath, in the name of Jesus. I'm coming to you, attack of the devil, in the name of Jesus. I'm coming to you, cancer, in the name of Jesus. I'm coming to you, infirmity, in the name of Jesus. There's no weapon that's formed against me that's ever going to be able to prosper. So you might as well posture yourself and understand that victory is on its way. You got to understand that you're a winner. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a winner. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I am a winner. Put your posture in check. If you feel like you've been at the base of a tree, feeling defeated and alone, let me tell you, you're not alone in this fight. You've got God on your side. There is a house full of believers that's been up and down, in and out, in season and out of season. There's people that have been victorious. There's been people that have lost. And let me tell you, the ones that carry themselves in proper posture are always going to tell you, God brought me through it. They're always going to tell you, Jesus gave me my victory. Jesus broke the chains off of my wrist. And let me tell you one more thing. God has given this to me to give to every church I go to so far. You got to posture yourself to praise Him. God is calling an end time generation church to praise Him in such a way that you believe that He's already done the miracle, already answered the prayer, already given you the things that you have need of. This type of praise, it's biblical. It's unequivocally, unadulterated, apostolic revival. For you to tap into this type of praise, it's got to be developed. God told me when I started evangelizing, if there's anything that you're going to speak to somebody, you need to tell them to develop a praise mentality. Your posture. If you're going to have proper posture, it will allow you to have proper praise. If you don't always clap your hands, start clapping your hands. If you don't always raise your hands to Him, raise your hands to Him. If you don't always lift your voice in victory, start lifting your voice in victory. You'd be surprised of what God can give you if you would but let your voice ring out. It says, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You gotta speak to your situation. Speak your victory. You gotta praise Him for it. You gotta believe it for it. You'd be surprised the level of faith that you would have coming out of your mind, coming out of your belly, coming out of your heart if you would allow your praise to go forth and come into the atmosphere. When you praise Jesus for who He is, not just for what He's done, but who He is, when you praise Him, it amplifies the miracle working power that's in the atmosphere around you. This isn't even in my notes tonight. I don't know why I'm on this. Well, how do you know that, preacher? The story of the 10 lepers may or may not be familiar to you, but there's 10 lepers, men. An incurable, painful disease, falling apart in their flesh, probably loss of limb and loss of posture. And what happened was they were sitting outside of the city, completely excluded from their loved ones, from their jobs. They had no money, no way to provide, nothing for themselves. They were outcast because of the disease. But Jesus came walking on His way through to the city. And they recognized Him just by how He carried Himself. And they said, Jesus, would You help us? Would You heal us? Would you make us clean so that we can go back home and be with our loved ones? What did Jesus do? All he said was, because of your faith, you're clean. Go show yourself to the priest and go home. Boom. Done. But the Bible says that there was one that turned right back around and gave his best thanksgiving and his best praise to God for being made clean. And Jesus said, where are the nine? For I made them clean also. And he said, because of your faith hath made thee whole. Your thanksgiving hath made thee whole. Your praises have amplified what I have done for you already. Your praise will unleash wholeness, not just cleanliness, not just a healing. It's going to make you whole. It's going to make you complete. Just allow your posture to allow your praise out a little bit. You need to be experiments. You need to have experiments with your praise. Just see what happens. Don't be scared of it. There's nobody in this room that's going to judge you. And if they do, they're not of God. So you better not allow them to get into your mind. You better not allow your flesh to take over. Don't allow your mind to take over. You need to come into an altar and begin to praise God like he's already done it. If you can't make it to the altar, praise him where you're sitting. Get a spirit of David on you and shout yourself more vile until the miracle working power of God begins to pour out. Your posture matters. This altar's open. If you want to come, come. If you need to stay seated, stay seated. But if you would allow your posture to shift into a new day, into a new age, and allow God to do a new thing in you tonight, would you let him do it tonight? Your posture matters. Praise God with us tonight.